Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello, folks, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. I'm your host, Tom Bajur, and I'm at the Warren Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I'm here with Ray Cook. We've got an exciting event that you put on multiple years. You know, it's the Mental Health Fair. You know, Ray, many churches have Vacation Bible School as an outreach. They have cooking schools as an outreach, but not too many have mental health fairs. Welcome, Ray Cook.
Thank you, Tom.
And Ray is the director of ACS with, what is ACS?
It's the Adventist Community Services in the Warren community.
And what is the function of an Adventist Community Service Center?
In the past, the function has been to handle any requests for need within our community. And in the past several years, we have broadened that out to be an outreach to the community through a variety of about 8 different services now.
And I've heard about your services a few years ago, and we learned some things about it. Name some of those services that the Warren Seventh-day Adventist Community Service Center provides. Tell us about the ministries that you have here at Warren.
Okay, beginning with our blanket ministry, which is a rather unique ministry that you'll hear about a little bit later. On to our diaper ministry, the distribution of diapers in the community. We have a food pickup ministry, which began as a food distribution in the community and grew into actually having the people come to our church to pick it up, which has opened the opportunity to meet and to interact with a variety of new people.
You know, that's a great story, and I'm just begging to ask more questions, but today we're talking about the Mental Health Fair, but we're looking at that in the context of all the ministries you have at the Adventist Community Service Center.
Yes, continuing on, we have our grief sessions. We have our single mom's oil change. We have a home handyman service. We have a ministry to veterans. And then we have our free community health fair that we do each year.
You know, it's interesting. The best thing that a church can do is what the community wants.
Yes.
What the community needs.
Yes.
And there are some basic services that we've been doing this tour of Adventist Community Service Center for several months now, and it's been a wonderful experience to find how each community service center adapts to the needs of that particular community. And there's things, you know, it's interesting, we've even been able, as Strong Tower Radio, we put community centers talking to each other, sharing stuff back and forth. So it's been a beautiful experience. What we're here today is to talk about the Mental Health Fair and how the history and how it continues to serve the community. But before we do that, Ray, would you have a word of prayer for our listeners and for our broadcast?
Yes, for sure. Father in heaven, we want to thank you and praise you for each day of life that you give us, and we want to thank you for the opportunity of serving people in our community, Lord, that we may be the hands and the feet of Jesus going out with various services, various ministries to bless them. And Lord, I thank you for each community service group throughout our state and our country. And I pray that you would bless these services and bless our listeners today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What we're here today is this is Mental Health Month, and the Warren Church has embraced this in a very unique way. Actually, it sounded like this ministry came to you. Can you tell the story, the history of the Mental Health Fair here at the Warren Seventh-day Adventist Church with the Adventist Community Service?
Yes, in 2021, we were approached by the Judson Center, which is our neighbor just to the east.
Physical neighbor, butts against your property.
Yes.
Okay.
And they use our playground. They have a ministry to autistic children and to their families. So we allow them to use our playground as part of their services. And they, in seeking to put on a mental health fair themselves, they asked if they might be able to use our property in the back. And we met with them, and Pastor Giancarlo had suggested that we do a joint effort in putting on the health fair. And we helped them with the fair. It was a joint effort. They did all of the organizing at the beginning. And then the second year, it was going to take place again, but something had happened with the Judson Center where they were not able to organize it. And they asked if we could organize the fair and if they could participate in it.
You just kind of like changed from driver's seat to yes. passenger seat.
Yes. And with that happening, we expanded things a little bit to include a number of our different services at the tables and also with the health ministry that we had with respect to cooking schools. And as a part of the health fair, we put on a cooking school each hour at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 3 o'clock. So we begin the fair at 12 o'clock. We have people around the front of our church. We have farm animals and a variety of things for the children and services for the family. But we also have a loudspeaker out front where we let people know that there is a free vegetarian or plant-based cooking school going on, and we have that at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 3 o'clock that we provide for them.
Well, Ray, something that we've got to share with our listeners is I had the opportunity to watch a video that's posted on YouTube that shows the fair from a previous year. And when you mentioned about the free pony ride, that just flashed up in my memory. Folks, you've got to go to their YouTube site. Where's that located at?
It's the Warren SDA Church YouTube website. And if you enter the Free Community Health Fair 2022, you can find the video there.
So you'll get, listeners, you'll have an opportunity to find out what they did, and would you like to share that idea with other people, with other churches, Ray?
Yes, as far as the health fair itself, we branched out into a number of different services. One of them that we did was an Eight Laws of Health game that we did, and the Judson Center very generously provided us about 1,000 stuffed animals to use.
That's quite a gift.
Yes, for gifts to the children. And we would have it's kind of like a roulette wheel, but it's all with the Eight Laws of Health. So we would have the children or the parents come up, they would spin the wheel, and it comes to one of the Eight Laws of Health. So if it came on rest, you would have to answer a question about rest. And with the people who are running that center for us, we always make sure that the person wins.
Oh, okay. It's fixed in their favor, huh? Okay.
So regardless of how many questions we have to ask, we make sure that their child gets a toy.
Well, Ray, we're going to try to virtually present this mental health fair to our listeners. There's other people, you have other tents or stations, and you have one for grief recovery.
Yes, we have what we call our grief sessions, and Tom and Anita Jazerski will be sharing a little bit more about that.
Good. Well, Tom and Anita, why don't you come on up and join us? We happen to be in, what is this room at the Warren?
We call it the atrium or the conference center.
The conference center. It's a very nice, there's tables, three rows of tables all the way around, a beautiful setting for a variety of events. Tom and Anita, come up here and join us. Tom, how many years have you been a part of the mental health fair here at the Warren Seventh-day Adventist Church?
So since it started, it's going on 3 years now.
3 years. And Mental health, I would think that grief is a part of mental health. How does that fit in? And tell us about your experience with the fair.
Sure. So we were one of many tables set up to promote the grief support group that we have here at Warren. And we were amazed of how many people stopped by, but they shared their story. Many people shared their story. It was like an outlet, us being there just to share their experience. And there's quite a few people had broke down during that time. So we were able to provide a little encouragement called Coping with Grief, a little booklet. But we also encouraged them to attend our grief session program.
Yeah, these people that came and were a part of this, the health fair, this was an additional bonus, I would think. They probably didn't come to talk about grief.
I'm not sure what they were expecting, but they were surprised and happy that we were there.
Anita, can I share? Also, some of the people who were representing different booths, they too were interested in it. So they were still a part of the fair, but yet they said, I could really use this type of grief session that is being presented.
So between the different entities that were providing the presenters, exhibitors, there was cross information, and it was almost a networking opportunity.
Exactly.
Tell us, does any experience, either Tom or Anita, stick out in your mind from the health fair that gives you reason to keep on going, that gives you that positive feedback that you're changing the lives of people?
When we started this program, we weren't expecting to really know how things were going to turn out. We had our first session that we had with the people. There was a couple that had come in, and she had lost her mother, and she was just, I mean, she couldn't even look at you face to face. And by the end of the session, she had such a turnaround in her disposition that she ended up being able to get out there and get a job and started functioning again.
So you actually helped somebody change their lives.
We did, and we're not certified, you know, we're just facilitators. And so this type of sessions actually just helps people to just let someone listen to you. Because in grief, you know, you just need to let it out. And I think that's how this couple was. They were constantly talking and talking, but in the end, it worked out so well for them, and it helped other people to open up too.
You know, it's interesting. You probably thought that in this mental health fair, you were just distributing information, but you actually made contacts and changed people's lives. What resources? It looks like you have a booklet in your hand. What is that about?
Well, this booklet is actually what Tom was discussing. It's called Coping with Grief. It is by John Bradshaw. We do hand that out to the public at the fair or, you know, anyone that we may come in contact with. But our grief session is actually a six-week Bible-based. It's a grief support, and it's DVDs, and it goes on for 6 weeks.
Well, why don't you just tell, while we're on the subject, why don't you give the dates of that event?
Sure. So our next event's going to be starting Thursday, May 25th, and it goes through June 29th, and it starts 6 o'clock till 7:30. Food is provided, light snacks and such. We found that our turnout has been pretty much 100% since people had signed up. They benefit through the DVD program. We also have a workbook that we go through. But I think one of the foundations of this ministry is the group discussion, where we could share our experience. People can give suggestions what they have benefited. So yes, it's a blessing all around.
You know, this is an important part of this mental health fair. You know, I think that most of us don't think that we have grief concerns or issues, but we've all experienced it.
We have, and we found in a few cases, people had been struggling with the loss of a loved one years ago, but they haven't learned the proper steps, channels to live a productive, healthy life. One particular participant, she was sitting in the car in the driveway, struggling whether to come in or not, because it was such a battle to make that first step of really exposing her situation and wanting to get help. But once she conquered that, opened the door and walked in, she was consistent in these meetings, and it was such a growth in her life.
So you're going to be one of the exhibitors at the mental health fair that's coming up. What's the date, Ray?
May 21st.
May 21st. What day of the week is that?
Sunday.
Sunday, May 21st.
From 12 until 4 o'clock.
And where is the health fair located?
It is located at the Warren Seventh Adventist Church, which is 12100 East 13 Mile Road. In Warren, it's 48093.
And I noticed that you got a really cheap gas station really close, so that gives another incentive to come.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Anita and Tom, for being a part of the Mental Health Fair, and I'm sure more good will happen this year. Ray, next we have the Blanket Ladies. Can you introduce the Blanket Ladies of the Mental Health Fair? It's a part of another ministry that's part of the Warren Adventist Community Service Center, but they're an integral part, and we want to hear what they do to make it fun at the Mental Health Fair.
Amen. It's a wonderful ministry. I have enjoyed seeing it blossom. They'll share a little bit about that. But Joyce is our leader for the group, Cheryl, and Mary Lee will be joining her and sharing. Powerful, powerful ministry.
So Cheryl, tell us what your part of the Mental Health Fair is.
Well, last year we were blessed to have made a blanket, which is what we do, of course, for the needy, the sick, and the homeless. But last year we made a blanket for each one of the Judson Center children.
Now the Judson Center, is that the autism center? And that's adjacent parking lot. So these are real kids that you guys see play on your playground. You've got a little bit of a relationship. So you want to do something for all these autism kids. And so how did that, I remember that the Judson Center started this mental health fair originally.
Yes, they did. They were in charge of everything. We kind of joined them, shared our property. The first year, so yes.
And so you made these blankets, and how did that work? And then you have plans to even do bigger and better, and you're revealing it right here on Strong Tower Radio.
Okay. We have, last year, we made the blankets for all the children and created little vouchers for each one of the kids to come and select their own.
So they could choose their own
blanket. Choose their own blanket, yes. And their parents live not close, so it's
a regional service.
Yes, it's a regional appointment for them to come here every week for their meetings. So we really didn't receive anyone coming from the Judson Center, but we did go deliver them to the director, so she was able to share them with the children. They got to select their own blanket, and so we still accomplished our goal.
Amen. So this in 2023, you've revealed to me what your committee have just decided, and what are you going to do that's going to be interesting this year?
Well, this year we have, we don't want to sell our blankets. We make them for specific groups that need the blankets, so we don't want to just sell them off.
It's a love. It's a love experience.
It's a passion that we all have very strongly. But this year we've decided to sell hats and scarves and little throw pillows that we make out of the remnants of the fleece. That
so,
we make the blankets from.
So nothing is wasted, and revenue is going to be generated.
Right, and that'll go right back into our budget, so we can continue to make more, buy more fleece to make more blankets.
Also, do you take donations?
Oh yes, you bet.
You take donations of money?
Oh, yes, yes.
And you're making yourself known to the public. Could somebody come join and maybe help you make blankets?
Yes, yes. We're always looking for new hands who know how to sew or want to braid or crochet. We have all those options available.
Well, what a wonderful ministry. And you're going to take this to the farmers market. So this is kind of the test site for this.
It is, actually. Yes, it is.
Well, will you introduce where the rest of you of the blanket ministry have a word or so to say?
Yes, this is our team leader, Joyce.
Joyce.
Hello.
And what is the mental health fair? What's a memory that you took away from last year?
We had a little animal exhibit, I guess we could say. And
live
so
or stuff?
Live.
Okay. They kept moving, right?
And the children were very taken with that. And we try to have a little something for everyone. We also had cookies and little handmade things that people could have if they wanted a little something. We gave out literature.
Good health information.
On the grief series that we have. And people were very impressed with it. And as far as our blankets, we also had some out for display. So we were able to have information on that for people. People were really interested in the variety of things that we had, so there was kind of something for everyone.
Absolutely. You know, with the animals, when I saw the video there, it reminded me a little about the old-fashioned county fair.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, exactly.
And so it's a free fair for mental health. Well, ladies.
This is Mary Lee.
Mary Lee, what can you contribute to our...
Well, I help with the sewing and crochet of the blankets, and during the fair, health fair that we had, people would ask me if they are for sale, and I said no, we are donating them, giving them to different groups of people like the homeless, the patients who receive chemotherapy, or the vets returning home. And so they said that, we want to donate. So we get some revenues from it, you know, because they saw that what we are doing are helping people.
Well, you weren't just doing something in a room and nobody saw it. You got a bigger exposure. Well, ladies, thank you so much for being a part of our program today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Ray, is there something else you'd like to share about the mental health fair that, you know, we've had two groups talk about the grief, recovery, and we have the blanket ministry. Is there anything else that you would like to share that was a part of the vendor? I saw that the Blue Cross and Blue Shield was there.
Yes.
What did they, how did they help with the fair?
They answered questions for people that maybe had questions about their coverage or about certain things that they were going through. And they were very appreciative to have the ability to ask people the different questions. We had the fire department was there as well, and the kids really enjoyed going over, talking with the firemen. And one of the unique things that we had in our first health fair is that the years ago, one of our young people at the church had an aneurysm, was taken to the hospital by a group of the firemen, and one of those firemen that had taken him to the hospital was able to meet him as a grown-up man.
Really?
Yes, so Christian was about 18 years old, I think, at the time. But we got a beautiful picture of the fireman giving him a hug that had been involved in saving his life.
Wow, you talk about paybacks and return on investment. Multiple things happened at this fair.
Yes, and one other thing that I'm reminded of what Denise is sitting here with us, but another part of this is that we had a booth of nurses that were taking blood pressures, doing blood sugars, and doing a health assessment for the people. So that was a good experience. And then we also had a prayer booth where we brought in some couches. We set it up kind of neat with a table, even though it was outside, sort of looked like a nice inside venue. And we were thinking at first, who was going to come out in the middle of a parking lot to have prayer with people? And we were surprised. We had a line of people waiting to have prayer with us. They would come in and sit down. One of the people even came in ahead of time, was kneeling on the floor and thinking that they had to kneel there and wait for their place. And I said, no, you can sit down here and talk. And we had, during that time, there was a mother and a child that were having problems dealing with each other. And
really?
They came into us, they talked about the situation together, they had prayer, and then they left together.
You know, Ray, what I'm hearing is so many wonderful things happened at this health fair.
Yes, definitely.
Even beyond expectation.
Yes.
There was another thing that I saw. I'm so glad you guys asked me to watch this video. It's the Warren Church free health fair video. Is I saw that there were people of different, based on their garb, were of different religious persuasions. I believe it was a Muslim
yes.
family was in that video too. So.
Yes, and that's been a blessing with the variety of ministries that we'll share at another time. But our oil change ministry, we actually are working with a facility that is run by a Muslim group. And they've been open to praying with us before we begin the events.
Well, Ray, we're going to leave the last little bit. We're going to have your pastor here will be joining us, and he'll give there's always something the pastor can add.
Yes.
And so we'll be adding him to the interview. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. We now have the pastor of the Warren Seventh-day Adventist Church, Pastor. What has this mental health fair done for the community from your perspective?
Yeah, so this health fair gives the opportunity for the whole community to participate, including the different vendors and mental health clinics. So they have the opportunity to present their services, their material, and the public. They get to know different options for them as far as mental health. And as far as what we make available for the public, we have a prayer booth. We have had people lining up to receive prayer. We also make available spiritual materials and materials related to mental health and what the Word of God says about it. We also make available other services, like free services that we have, and the public, they have the opportunity to learn about them, like we offer grief sessions program, and we have also our blanket ministry. We have a vegetarian plant-based cooking class right on site here during the health fair. We offer free haircuts and free massage. So we make all these available for the public.
Well, that must be nice, because I saw in the video that the pastor was giving the massage. So
that's right. That's right.
How often does that happen?
Well, once every year when we have the health fair. So
why do you make an appeal to the general public why they should come to this event?
Yes, I think you should come. Don't let the stigma of mental health keeping you from coming. Mental health is something that everybody can benefit. You know, when people think like, oh, I don't have any mental issue, this fair is not for me, this is actually a deception. Mental health can include improving your lifestyle, such as more exercise or better nutrition, or acquiring material that will give you tools to solve conflicts, and all these things we want to make available. So this is a fair for everyone to participate.
And it's free.
It is free, that's right, it is free.
My sister says free is good.
Yes.
So, well, what an opportunity. You know, it's kind of like marriage seminars. Unfortunately, people think that it's only people who need solutions. It's actually an opportunity to make good better.
I agree.
Healthy people come to mental health fairs.
Yes, totally.
Ray, why don't you give the address of where they can come, the date and the address.
Okay, it will be May 21st from 12 until 4 o'clock. The address here is 12100 East 13 Mile Road in Warren, 48093, and it's the Warren Seventh-day Adventist Church, if you want to look us up online.
So if I heard you correctly, it's May 21st.
Yes.
From noon to 4 p.m.
Yes.
And it's free.
Absolutely free.
Another reason for people to come, especially if they have children,
okay.
We make it very fun and interesting for the children. We will have farm animals here and bounce house and other activities so the whole family can enjoy.
A great time at the Warren Seventh-day Adventist Church on May 21st, that's Sunday.
Yes.
And from noon to 4 p.m. Well, thank you both, and I want to thank you, the Warren Seventh-day Adventist Church, for providing this community service that everybody can participate
in. You're welcome, Tom. Thank you.
I'm Tom Azure for Strong Tower Radio, and this has been a Strong Tower Radio production. Bye now.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button or call 231-468-2087. We thank you and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
Hello, folks, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Azure, and we are on location with Pastor E.J. Wolf. It's good to be with you again, Pastor.
Thank you for coming and looking at this beautiful paradise to be.
Yes, the opportunity is all around us.
That's right.
You know, we're becoming regular host and co-host here.
I know it. I'm having a whole lot of fun. When am I going to get paid?
that may be a while. Okay. When you get the greenhouse done.
All right.
Okay, good. Pastor EJ, will you tell us why we are on location in central Michigan, mid-Michigan, on a beautiful sunny day inside a greenhouse? And after that, you can have prayer.
Sounds good. We're here today because we have a passion to help young people learn how to grow to become agricultural entrepreneurs. It began really with the vision of the Michigan Conference, who really invested in this infrastructure, and we're able to stand on the shoulders of their vision and try and take it from there.
It kind of makes me think of, you know, the football game, you know, and
yeah.
You got to have somebody take it across the goal line.
That's right.
And that's what you're doing.
That's our plan.
And
that's
you have plan. A couple of friends here that are going to help you, and we're going to add some other people in the interview that aren't in this immediate standing. So why don't you introduce them for us?
Sure will. Carrie House is our treasurer, and she is traveling in Pennsylvania right now, but we're really glad that she's part of our team. She's a CPA, loves gardening, and grateful for her service.
And she has some roots in history.
She does. She's been serving here at this greenhouse since its conception, working on all the numbers. So you need somebody like that with a place like this.
That's right.
Yeah.
And how many square feet do we have here?
We have about an acre underneath the plastic, and we've got even more property for raised beds on the sides and the north, so we've got a lot of room to grow.
And who's this fine lady right here?
We've got Heidi Sandvik. She's one of the teacher's wives who lives right over there. She calls herself the spy of the greenhouse because she lives so close by, and she keeps track of our temperature inside, She's the secretary, so she keeps notes of all of our meetings, and she's got a passion for growing herbs and flowers and helping us make this a beautiful place.
And you're putting together quite a team, and most, if not all of them, are volunteers.
All volunteers, that's right. All volunteers. Mike Messer is the vice chair of our Cedar Lake Growers, is what we're called. And he's really going to help us get the greenhouse back in order. He's very mechanical. He loves growing in a greenhouse at his house. And he's got a ton of tomatoes that are eagerly awaiting being planted in the soil over here. So
fantastic. And who's this fine gentleman?
Steve Williams has been growing for probably longer than all of us put together. He's the expert, really. We're just here as apprentices to him. And he's our assistant treasurer, so he really does all the day-to-day. If we need some money, we come on our hands and knees to him.
So how did you get involved, and what is your role, Pastor EJ?
I'm the chair of Cedar Lake Growers. I've got a couple of kids who have worked here on the farm, and they've learned the great lessons of hard work and patience and perseverance. And so it's near and dear to my heart. I know your daughter's also worked here. And so both of us have a passion to see this thrive.
I think that that's what I hear across the whole spectrum of this team. They have deep roots, and you know, sometimes the most effective workers are those that, where their heart is involved, and
that's right.
Those are the volunteers that are doing it just because it's the right thing to do.
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you what, our listeners are waiting for that prayer you're going to give.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for placing Adam and Eve in the greatest education center ever, the Garden of Eden. And as we're here, we pray, Lord, that this place be a place of learning as well for our community, for the students at both CLE and Great Lakes Avis Academy. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you guide us and lead us, give a vision that's higher than our own, and give us the power and strength to complete it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, Pastor EJ, I need to share with our listening audience that this is kind of like simulcast. You have a double mic on you.
That's right.
One is for the radio recording, the audio recording, but you also are doing a video recording, and one of the volunteers that'll be helping us out is manning the video camera.
That's right. Thank you, Chris. He called me today and said, you know, he's been wanting to do some service, and he let his fingers do the wandering, and he ended up on my phone.
God brought him here, didn't he?
Praise the Lord for Chris. Yeah, at the right time, because we needed somebody to record this.
That's right.
And the recording is going to be also on our Cedar Lake Growers YouTube channel. So you can listen to us on Strong Tower Radio, watch us on Cedar Lake Growers YouTube channel.
And you know, I was just listening to a program, kind of vetting it for Strong Tower Radio, and it talked about leaders have vision.
Yes.
And this team has a lot of vision at this moment. Why don't you give the big picture, and then we're going to get Heidi's input here.
Yeah, our vision really is to follow the intentions of the Michigan Conference when they built this place, to help young people become students of nature, learning how to grow things in the ground, and to help them get through school. So that's the heart of why we're doing this. It's a mission project for all of us. And the wonderful thing about this mission project, it's in our backyard.
All right.
We don't have to travel overseas to go to it.
Well, will you explain Heidi's, we introduced her, but why don't you do a little interview and dialogue with Heidi?
So Heidi, as we look at this big, vast greenhouse in the backyard of your house, where do we begin?
Well, I've thought about that a lot of times, and I look out my windows and I sit at my dining room table thinking about what could be done over there and where would you start? Because you can't start by filling the entire thing. You don't have a market for the whole thing at first if you don't have those connections. You don't have the manpower as volunteers to just fill the whole thing, and it's not a one-person job. It's got to be a whole team of people. So you have to start small.
Yes.
Those are our two favorite words.
Right.
We've been saying over and over and over, start small, start small. And also it comes to mind, do not despise the day of small things. Mm-hmm. So what does small look like? Well, when I started gardening in my college dorm room, small looked like a little pot where I had green onions growing, and I added it to my top ramen.
That's right.
In the microwave as a college student, and you know, that made things a little better. Here, well, starting small is more than one pot of onions.
That's right.
It's maybe two bays out of 15 sections that we have here in the greenhouse, with tomatoes and peppers and some greens that I think you're growing.
That's right.
We hope to have onions and some herbs and flowers and things that might even be perennial that would grow outside.
So yeah.
We want to demonstrate indoor growing and outdoor growing. It may not seem like that is starting small because it's a long list of plants that we have growing and started already, but we have to start small so that we can care for everything really well. And as I think about another reason to start small is that we don't have a huge amount of money right now.
That's right.
And we are committed to staying out of debt and to making sure that we don't make too many financial commitments before we have income to back them up. One of the reasons that I garden, and maybe the main reason, is because it's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
It never gets old, right? To watch those seeds come up and watch those perennials come out in the springtime. So we don't want to lose the fun and create a project that's so stressful we can't maintain it.
That's right. Heidi, what are some of the challenges that we face with a garden this big?
Well, you mentioned the Garden of Eden and how the Lord created us to be in a garden. And there are times when I'm out in my garden and I feel really upset with Adam.
Yeah.
Because he's the reason we have some weeds growing in the garden and some extra work to do. And in this case, one of our challenges is that the raised beds that have been in here for the history of the greenhouse need to be replaced. When you grow using organic growing practices, you don't use treated wood, which means that it wears out eventually. So all of those beds had to be taken out, and we're going to get it down to the actual soil and bring in some topsoil and amendments and continue growing organically here. But that's a lot of man hours to put in to get that all ready for the, what is it, 400 tomato plants?
Yeah.
Growing so far.
And we have thousands of plants. You can't see them here, but they're in the basement, growing under lights, and all kinds of lettuce and tomatoes and herbs and fun things that will hopefully be ready by camp meeting here, June 9th. So if you're hungry, who's not hungry? June 9th, come over here to the greenhouse, and our plan is to have produce available for those who come.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Heidi, thanks so very much for being a part of this interview. Well, Pastor EJ, it was a good interview with Heidi, and now we're moving on to Steve Williams. Tell me, what question do you have for Steve?
Steve wants to share with us the mission of Cedar Lake Growers. Why are we here? What are we doing? And so, Steve, what is our mission?
Well, we have a multifaceted mission. All of it's based around the plants that we're growing. But the mission isn't just about growing food. We want to grow good food. But we're anxious to grow a good community, grow good young people, to grow our own characters in the process.
Yes.
So, you know, Jesus loved to talk about the mission of heaven in connection with the agricultural cycle of his time. He would talk about how seeds were sown and how the kingdom of heaven is like a plant, like a mustard seed. Small things would start out, and Heidi was talking about how we start small.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus did that too.
That's right.
And so we feel like we're in good company there. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 13, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." You know, when you're gardening, you might wish things were a certain way, but God has set them up by his own design. Granted, they're distorted by the presence of sin, but he still makes it possible for us to follow his principles. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then he brings in the agricultural connection. He says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. This couple of verses out of that section, God ties in rain with his word. You know, rain never goes two ways. It comes down from above. Mm. The word did too.
That's right.
Both in the written form and in the form of Christ. It came as the living word. And it came for a purpose, to water the earth, to make it bring forth and bud. And any of us who garden know that water is our most precious resource. Mm-hmm. When you go a couple of weeks without rain, you're scrambling for ways to deliver water to your needy plants.
That's right.
So we realize from this that we can't go extended periods of time without the word from heaven. Mm-hmm. We have to have that on a regular basis, daily.
That's right.
So it feeds our hearts. But it says it brings forth and buds and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God doesn't design that his earth should just grow weeds. These are usable things. And what comes forth is designed to bless others. A sower plants so that he may not only eat for himself, but to share with others. I like these lessons. So when we bring young people in to work alongside of us, I don't know what it was like when you guys were kids, but if your mother ever sent you out to hoe the corn on a hot day and you'd rather be swimming, you didn't think in terms of spiritual lessons that easily.
That's right.
You always thought, man, I'd rather be doing something else. But when dinner time comes, you're awful glad that mom has some corn to put on your table, you know, because you're hungry.
That's right.
And boy, is it nothing like homegrown corn.
Yeah.
So good. God says, my word won't be, that goes from my mouth won't return to me void. And he says, for you shall go out with joy and be led with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth into singing before you, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. One of my own children said to me, I wish I'd have paid more attention when I was home as to how gardening went. They looked at it more as a chore, and now they're working with their own garden, and they're saying, call us up, you know, how can I do this? What do I do for that? You know,
right.
So yeah, I'm happy to still pass out what little I know and share it with them. But I think we can do that for young people here.
That's right.
And I think the Lord is giving us this opportunity not only to help us get better at sharing, but to help other people learn the process of growing and sharing.
So you're going to be helping other people, and that other people are not only students, but also people in the community as well. Anybody who desires to grow, they're welcome to be a part of this process.
That's why we're here on Strong Tower Radio, because we want to help people in the community learn how to grow. We've got a YouTube channel where people can learn the lessons that we're going through as we're working here in the greenhouse. We'll be videotaping different lessons on how to build the soil. We're going to video lessons on how to work with flowers in the garden and what a blessing they can be to bring in the bees and other things that will help beneficial insects help our garden grow. And Steve, we've got some free classes coming up at camp meeting too.
Second week of June, there's going to be a great refreshing camp meeting here on these grounds in our neighborhood right across the street. And we're going to have an opportunity for people that come to learn some things. There's going to be less classes, I would say, on wonderful ways to grow fruit trees. There's a method from the 1800s that is highly recommended that people like to try. And yeah, it's a little more work to start with, but boy, is it worth the effort in the end. Mm-hmm. How to feed the soil, what you do with biochar and worm castings, and what does that NPK stuff mean when you look at a fertilizer? We're going to talk about maybe ways of controlling pests that don't involve chemicals from the big chemical companies.
Right.
Because we're going to be growing without using that stuff here.
The nice thing about those is they're often a lot more inexpensive too. You can make them at home with some simple ingredients, and they work well.
And with the issue with fertilizer, that price is the commercially available is and skyrocketed.
Yes.
And we can do other things.
That's right.
We have an interest in helping folks understand some of the newer tools available for small scale farming and larger scale home gardening. There's a lot of stuff I wish I'd have had when I was about 14. Mm-hmm. Would have made life easier. And I just want to say that we've mentioned our YouTube channel several times. It's pretty early in its development. There's not a lot of content there yet. More will be coming. So subscribe and you'll see it as it come out. You'll be able to watch it.
What about the financial side?
We started as a volunteer group of five pretty local people who saw this place as an opportunity. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. In the past, they operated it. Then it went into a lease to an individual. And a couple of years ago, that relationship ended, and now it's been sitting here. And as you can see in the background, there's quite a bit of work to do to put it back into really functional condition.
For those of you on Strong Tower Radio, all that thunder you heard is really plastic that's just going back and forth in the wind because it's been left desolate for a couple of years.
So there's roofs to be repaired and sides and
the full house needs to be replasticed.
Yeah.
So, and that's normal. A greenhouse plastic is 4 to 6 years mm-hmm. lifespan just because of sun degradation and cold and heat.
Right.
So that's normal. But we're at the point in the cycle of this plastic's life that it's time. Mm-hmm. And we can't really close the house fully because a good half of it is missing large chunks of the roof and a little on the sides.
Which brings birds in, and we love the birds, just not in the greenhouse.
Yeah, there you go.
So financially, we're five volunteers, and there's no funding behind us to start out. So we're working, as Heidi said, from the principle that we want to be able to be self-funding as we go, as much as possible. There's a small hurdle, though, at the beginning. This greenhouse is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. But for $25,000, it can be put back into really good operational condition. So we're just inviting people who have an interest in this business, in this mission, if they're willing to go to the GoFundMe page for Cedar Lake Growers, help us out a little bit. You know, we did some little bit of math. You know, if you had $15,000 need and 15 people gave $1,000, you're able to fix that problem. Or 30 people at $500, or you just do it simple. If you have 25 you want to send, praise the Lord, we thank you for that.
Amen.
If you have 25,000 you want to send, this place will sing like a four-part choir.
So, Pastor EJ, part of this is young people earning their tuition to go to school.
That's right.
You know, what you earn, you appreciate.
That's right.
Not only are they going to appreciate what going to school and they're vested into their education, but they'll also have that skill.
Right.
That they earned, that they can take with them the rest of their lives and pass it on to somebody else.
Our model is a little different for students than what they've done in the past. Instead of hiring students, because we don't have a lot of money to pay them anyway, we'd like to lease the land to them for free. And then we'll teach them how to take it from seed all the way to market. And really, when you see that little seed that you stick in the ground, and after it's been watered and fertilized, it grow into a head of broccoli or a cabbage or a plant full of red, beautiful, delicious tomatoes. You see, wow, what an amazing creator we have that lets us be a part of growing things in the garden. It's really brings us closer to our creator.
And you say closer to creator, but also to the mentors, the students with their mentees. There's going to be a bond there also.
That's right.
With adults, and that's what many young people need today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is the contact information? How can, if people say, what's happening today? Of course, I have a feeling it's going to take you back to that page, that web page, but let our listeners know how they can keep current and know where they can merge and onto this project.
If you'd like to follow us on social media, go to Cedar Lake Growers on Facebook. We've got pictures there of things that we're doing and what's been done in the past and upcoming events where we're going to be doing some work bees. Our website is cedarlakegrowers.org, and we'll also have information there where you'll be able to learn about events for learning and for coming to volunteer. So both of those are great places to find us.
Fantastic. And this is not a website that you would visit once and say, been there, done that.
Right.
It sounds like it's going to be better as time goes by.
Last thing we'd like to ask is that you keep us in prayer. Amen. We know with the Almighty, great things can happen. And as we look at this greenhouse, it might feel like Genesis 1:1, the world was made without form and void. But God's going to do a great thing in this greenhouse. It's grown a lot of produce in the past, and there's still a lot of work to be done here.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is one of the childhood books that I still use as a reference is Mike Mulligan and his steam shovel. And there's always, you know, with enough people, and it's the more people that watched, the more people that cheered, they were able to do it. Mike Mulligan and his steam shovel were down in the pit and digging the cellar of the new town hall, but the village hall. But there's people here on the front lines, and we've got listeners across the state of Michigan, literally across the country. And we found out that we got quite an audience in Finland.
So, that's right.
So there's going to be a number of people who will be contributing over a period of time, but there's a place for each one of you. And just want to encourage you to find where you fit in and follow along.
Amen. Thank you for having us today.
You're welcome. Thanks so much, Pastor EJ, Steve Williams, and Heidi Sanovic. There'll be others along the way. I'm looking forward already to my return visit.
Thanks.
I'm Tom Azure with Strong Tower Radio. I'll see you next time. Bye now.